Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, and I want to talk to you tonight about something God's laid on my heart, and that is about learning to trust Him in prayer. Of all of the things that you can do to expand your faith and you ignite the Holy Ghost in your life, nothing is more powerful than learning to trust God. How many of you have learned to trust God because you trusted Him in a situation multiple times throughout the last 10, 20, 30 years, and you know He's never let you down? Can I see your hand? Well, that's what I want to talk about, that kind of trusting God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "My son, don't forget my teachings, and let your heart keep my commands. For they will bring you many days and a full life and a well-being." What is wrong here? Good Lord. Just a minute. Here it is. "For they will bring you many days and a full life and a well-being. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you." I started at verse 1. "Tie them around your neck and write them on a tablet on your heart. They will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and man." Now, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not rely on your own understandings. And think about Him in all of your ways, and He will guide you on the right paths. Do not consider yourself to be wise, but fear the Lord and always turn away from evil." And this is very interesting, verse 8. "This will be healing for your body and strengthening to your bones." In other words, how many of you like to walk in good health? Well, the Bible strictly connects trusting God with the things in our life that we may not understand, circumstances and situations that are above our ability or our control. But everyone in here, you have something in your life that you need to give to God and to put trust in and put your trust in the Lord. And so trusting Him actually brings about good health. And so the Bible says, and here's what trust means. Trust can be defined as a feeling of safety or comfort in a relationship or with a person. God wants you to trust Him in so much that if you trust Him and you will lean not to your own ways of understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, what's going to happen is that He's going to come through for you if you stay on the potter's wheel. And you trust Him through difficult circumstances. And you trust Him when you don't understand Him. And you trust Him when it doesn't make sense. And you trust Him when you pray and it feels like you're hitting the ceiling. And you trust Him even when it looks dark. He wants to lead you through situations like that so that when you finally trust Him to where He delivers you and answers your prayer, the next time you go through it, you will have something to recall. And you will be able to do what David has said and what Moses alluded to and what Peter talked about and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke is in David. He said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." In other words, when we begin to trust the Lord and put our whole trust in Him, it builds confidence in us so that the next time we have to call on Him, we don't wonder if He's going to answer. We know that He's going to answer. Somebody say amen. And so putting that trust in the Lord is a developmental process. Putting the trust in the Lord is an act of faith. But you have to understand it's for your benefit. And if you have never, if you're one of those people that always run off from God, every time you don't get what you want from God or things don't work out the way you want it to work out, you're never going to grow up in Christ. But if you ever learn to trust Him, lean not to your own ways of understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. You're going to gain a confidence because you know that the last time you went through a situation and it looked hopeless and it looked like there was no way out and it looked like there was no answer for what you needed, that God always came through and that He is a very present help in time of need. And if you learn to put your trust in God once, you'll learn to put your trust in God twice. And if you ever learn to put your trust in God a third time, you'll be able to recall on the second and the first time. And if you ever learn to put your trust in God four times, you'll have three times, two times, and one time to come back and to remind you that he's always been faithful to his promises. And if you ever learn to trust God 10 times or 20 times, you'll have 19 times to recall back that when the enemy had my head on a chopping block and it looked like I had no way out and it looked like I wasn't going to be able to see the deliverance God had promised me, I saw him show up on the last 20 times, and I may need to trust God tonight, and I may need to trust God in the morning on the 22nd time, but now I've got 21 times to remind myself that he's always a present help in time of need. Somebody say amen. He's a good God. Everybody shout, he's a good God. He's a good God and a loving God. You see, why is trust important to you and me in our relationship? Because you can't develop a relationship without trust. A lot of people want a relationship and they don't want to trust the other person. You can forget it. Your marriage will never work. You want to see something destroy a marriage? Take away trust. You want to see something destroy your job opportunities? Let your boss stop trusting you. God is the same way. You see, without trust, a relationship cannot strive. But when you learn to trust God 22 times, when you've learned to trust God 100 times, when you learn to trust God where you're an old man and you're like King David, and he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. When you get that kind of longevity underneath your bones and that kind of stability underneath your feet, you do not fear what's coming before you. You understand that he is a very present help in time of need, and that God will and by no means let the enemy devour you if you'll lean not to your own understandings, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And you begin to trust God, but trusting God builds confidence. And if you have no confidence in God, it's because you haven't trusted him through too much. And if you want confidence in God, you got to learn to stay on the potter's wheel. You got to learn to stay still. You got to learn to get deep roots. And you got to learn to build the kind of tree, whether it's storming, sunshine, winter, hail, sleet, or snow, that you know that your God is able to deliver you. It's like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, you go ahead and turn the fire up if you want to, but our God, if he wants to, is able to deliver me today. And so trust is important because you cannot have a personal relationship with God without trusting him. And he wants to trust. He wants to be trusted. Why does he want to be trusted? Because he wants to let you know how faithful he is. You will never understand how faithful God is until you learn to trust him. I'm trusting him in a dozen different ways tonight. Things that I don't understand, things that I don't like, things that I'm hoping for, things I'm trying to discern. But here's the one thing I've learned, that if I'll not lean to my own ways of understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, he will direct my path. And because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, there is no way I'm going to go under. There is no way my enemy's going to have victory over me. There is no way in hell or high water that I'm ever going to fall or falter if I put my trust in the name of God. So you got to learn to trust him. And it's not just charismatic pablum. It's the reality. It's the depth of faith. And trust is important because you cannot have a relationship without trust. But you also need to understand that trust is earned. It is not given. Some of you want God to trust you with something you don't have yet. But the question God has for you is, have you been faithful with the little? God is never going to trust you with more until you've been faithful with the little. If you want more from God, and there's nothing wrong with asking that, if you want more from God, God wants to know how much more faithful are you going to be. If you want a better marriage, how have you handled your marriage so far? If you want more resources, are you a tither? Are you want God to use you? Are you using what's in your hand, Moses? What's the little things that you're going through right now where you've been faithful? You want God to promote you to be a supervisor? Have you been faithful as an employee? Do you want God to promote you as an entrepreneur? Have you been faithful as a follower? Do you want to be a leader? Have you learned how to follow leadership? What do you want from God? If you want something more from God, you got to learn that trust is earned. It is not given. And so God wants you to learn to trust him. And how you go through the process of learning to trust God is a relationship. And relationship is built on trust. And the more you trust God, the more confidence you have in God. But if you want something more from God, everybody shout more. If you want something more from God, if you want a deeper relationship with God, he wants to know, are you being faithful in the disciplines of Bible study, prayer, and fasting right now? Are you being faithful in church attendance? Are you being faithful in working in your gifts? You cannot ask God to give you more if you're not faithful with what you have right now. But ladies and gentlemen, if you ever get faithful with what's in your hand, if you're ever faithful with the resources you got right now, if you're ever faithful with the house you own, if you're ever faithful with the car you drive, if you're ever faithful with what you got in your hands, if the God of heaven ever sees you be faithful with the little things, I can rest assure you that he'll come over hell, high water, mountains and rivers to bless your soul, because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. So trust is not earned. Trust is earned. It is not given. But the thing you've got to understand about trust, and you're not going to like this curse word I'm about to use, but you're going to have to be patient, because trust is developed. The only way you ever learn to trust God is to develop a relationship with him to where you have to trust him. Because trust has to be developed. Trust is earned, but it has to be developed. You just don't wake up one morning and fully trust a human being. That is why divorce is so painful. That is why setbacks and betrayals are so hurtful, because you trusted someone. You trusted them with eldership, or you trusted them with friendship, or you trusted them with marriage, or you trusted them with something. And when they break that covenant, when they are unstable and unfaithful, like Proverbs 1 and, or 3 and 1 says, then there's this trust that's broken, and it's harder to build back when you've lost trust in someone. When you give someone $100 and said, I want you to keep it, and you come back and they can't find the $100. Or when someone said, I'll never tell it. If you'll confide in me, I'll never tell your secrets. And then you find out that everybody at Walmart in the bread section knows exactly your business. If you ever go to those situations where someone has broken your trust, then what happens is that trust, you lose confidence in them. And what happens when you lose confidence in them? You never trust them again. So why do you think that's an anomaly that God wants to put you through situations in your life multiple times where you learn to trust him? Because the more you trust him, the more faithful he's going to be, the more dependent you're going to be about him, and the more your faith is going to develop. You cannot develop your faith without putting your trust in God. And when you develop the kind of faith that moves mountains, when you develop the kind of faith that speaks to the mountain and moves it into the sea, when you develop the kind of faith that said, God, I don't understand. God, I don't like it. God, I wish you would help me. God, where are you? And you trust him in the dark hours. There is a person who is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, because he knows that through the development of multiple times in which you trust him, confidence, great confidence, is going to come to you in your relationship with God, because God is never going to fail you. The person you're sitting next to is going to fail you. The person speaking to you is going to fail you. The person that birthed you is going to fail you. The person that loves you the most is going to fail you. Man will fail you, but God is never going to fail you. And so you can put your trust in horses, and you can put your trust in mountains and armies of the kings of kingdoms. But the Bible says, as for me and my house, we'll put our trust in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen and give God a hand clap of praise in here. Hallelujah. You got to learn to trust him, but trust is developed. You just don't trust someone. And you've got to realize that God is saying, okay, I want to give you more. I want to bless you. I want to explode your spiritual walk with me. But how faithful are you in the little things you know you should already be doing? God is never going to reveal his unknown will to your life until you operate in his known will. So you can beg God all day long to reveal the mysteries, and he'll keep his mouth shut. But the moment you begin to do what he's told you to do, the moment you begin to steadfastly get roots, work in your gifts, and love God through the seasons of your life in one location, you know what God's going to do? He's going to open the heavens for you. He's going to develop multiple times to where he's delivered you, so he can build confidence in your heart towards him. See, God helps you to develop confidence in him. But all he needs from you is trust. Why does he want you to trust him? Because he wants a relationship with you. And he realizes that the relational spirit of a human being is built on trust. But trust is earned. And trust is developed. And Scripture says that he that is trusted with the little things will be given much. I have this sense in my spirit that God is wanting to bless this church in evangelism like he's never blessed it before. I have this sense in my spirit that God is wanting to move us forward in leaps and bounds like he's never moved us forward through team teaching. I have this sense in my spirit that the best days are ahead, not behind us. And I have that same sense for your personal life, that God is wanting to do some miracles in your life, that God is wanting to show off, not that he has to, not that he has anything to prove to you, but that God is wanting you to realize that you can trust him. And the reason he wants you to know you can trust him is so that you will have more confidence in him, because he wants a relationship. Trust is the essence of relationship. But you got to be faithful. I got to be faithful with the small things. And when I'm faithful with the small things, God will trust me with the much. That's good preaching for a white boy. Somebody say amen. Trustworthiness is dependent on the person facilitating it, not the recipient. So it's not whether or not you're trustworthy, it's whether God's trustworthy. It's not based on your being the recipient. You don't say, well, I trust you because I'm a good person. Oh, no. You say, I trust you because I'm the recipient of your trustworthiness. So the pressure, if you can use that word, is on God to perform. And there's a reason why the Scripture says he's a very present help in time of need. I want you to go to Psalms 22, verses 4 through 5. In Psalms 22, verses 4 through 5, it says something really interesting. It says, in you, our fathers put their trust. Now that statement I could preach for an hour right there. In you, our fathers put our trust. Let's put it down in some English vernacular. In Luella Duncan, Luella Duncan put her trust. In God, Ruby Knight put her trust. In God, John N. Knight, in 1911 at the Free Methodist Church in Wrightsburg, Kentucky, put his faith in God. It's saying that my mama, my daddy, my grandpa, Leroy Knight, put his faith in God. Otho Duncan put his faith in God. That my fathers, generations before me, put their faith in God. Why do you think God told the children of Israel, you put 12 stones down in this Red Sea and don't you move them? Because they're going to be a sign to the generation to come of the faithfulness of God. In other words, I parted the Red Sea for your great grandfathers, and don't think that I forgot about you. I'll part the Red Sea for you as well. And so the Bible tells us and admonishes us to trust God for our deliverance. But how does the trusting of God for your deliverance? There is someone underneath the sound of my voice that needs deliverance on a certain situation. And here I'm here to tell you tonight that you trust God for your deliverance by remembering that your forefathers put their trust in God. But I want you to count how many times you can count the word trust in this scripture. Proverbs or Psalms 22, 4 and 5. In our fathers... they put their trust our fathers put their trust. Gertie Jones put her trust in the Lord. Ramsey put his trust in the Lord. Jake Reddick put his trust in the Lord. I can name all kinds of saints that sit where you're sitting that have gone on to be with the Lord that put their trust in the Lord. And they don't need to be, yes, we miss them, and yes, we want them back, and I can't wait for that morning when the rapture of the Lord raptures us out of here, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all of the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us remain shall be caught up. I'm looking for that meeting when we go to that other side, and we see the loved ones that have been faithful to God. The 26 people that I ate dinner with 2 years ago are on the other side. They didn't put their trust in Islam. They didn't put their trust in Muhammad. They put their trust in the name of the living God. And just like Stephen, when they departed this world, Stephen said, I looked up and at the right hand of God, I saw the Father sitting there and Jesus by his side. And if God is faithful to Stephen, and God has been faithful to Otho, and God has been faithful to Gertie Jones, blessed be the Lamb of God, he's going to be faithful to you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to shout and have a Pentecostal fit. I don't know how you sit there. In you, our fathers put their trust. And number two, there it is again, twice. They trusted you. And then look at what it says. And you delivered them. Didn't say they couldn't find you. They didn't say you let them down. Oh no, those that really know the Lord, you ain't never heard a saint of God talk about God letting them down. You can't find me one saint that lived through troubles and trials and tribulations that really knew the Lord and talked about how God let them down. Oh no, they'd get up in testimony service and church after church, and they'd stand up and say, I want to give the Lord praise because he delivered me. I want to give the Lord praise because he sanctified me and he's always been faithful to me. I feel sorry for people that have no idea what I'm talking about. That powerful testimony service. And the psalm says, our forefathers trusted you and you trusted, they trusted you. And then it says these magical, mystical, powerful, Holy Ghost anointed words. And you delivered them. Oh, do you get the power of that? That there's been people who've gone before you. There's been people who sit in these pews at a 17-year-old church now that trusted the Lord. They trusted him through cancer. They trusted him through loss and bankruptcy. They trusted him in good days. And they trusted him in bad days. And he delivered all of them. Oh, hallelujah. And it says, they cried to you and they were saved. Oh, Peter had the faith. He got up out of the water. He went towards Jesus, got his eyes on the storm, and he sunk. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that the master of the wind walked across the water, picked him up, and said, oh, little baby, you a little faith. God didn't let Peter drown in his faith. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego walked into a fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. But they walked out. God didn't let them down. Isaiah said there was a coal that came from the portals of heaven on a tongue that held the was held by the hand of an angel. And he touched my lip and I said, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But he said also, in the king, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. God didn't let Peter down. Moses was facing the Red Sea and didn't know whether he was going to come or go. He had grumbling people. You want something to drive you crazy? Become a leader a little while. Grumbling people, griping people. Moses had had all he could take. They said, we should have stayed in Egypt. They said, you know what? At least we had bread in Egypt. Now all we eat is this manna. But you know what? Moses put his foot in the Jordan River on the shore of the Red Sea. And when he put that stick, it parted. God didn't let Moses down. Adam and Eve sinned and they tried to make up their own antidote for sin in their life. God didn't let them down. You look at Abraham. He tried to do God's will on his own. And he tried to, and he, man, you talk about anybody ever got hooked up with the wrong woman. And he thought he was going to help God and fulfill God's plan and had relationships with Ishmael's mother. But God didn't let him down. God didn't even let Ishmael down. You realize that? There was a woman with an issue of blood, spent all the money she had. And after she'd spent all the money she had being trained as a Jew, she knew that the healing would come in the wings of the Messiah, and that she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. It's a teaching in the Talmud and the Mishnah. It's a teaching for ancient Jews that the healing would arise in the wings of the Messiah. Listen, she spent all she had, but God didn't let her down. There was a man that was born blind and he sat by the pool of Bethesda over there at the gate, and everybody made fun of him and stayed away from him, and he suffered much in this world, but God didn't let him down. Stephen stood up for his faith and he's being stoned to death in the last moments of his life, hated and cursed and spit on and the gnashing of teeth, but God didn't let him down. Listen, if God has been faithful to Moses and God has been faithful to Abraham and God has been faithful to Isaac and God has been faithful to Jacob and God has been faithful to Miriam and God has been faithful to Naomi and God has been faithful to Isaiah and God has been faithful to Hosea and God has been faithful to Hezekiah and God has been faithful to Malachi and God has been faithful to Matthew and God has been faithful to Mark and God has been faithful to Luke and God has been faithful to John and God has been faithful to Paul, and God has been faithful, Priscilla. Why do you think he's going to let you down tonight? He is not going to let you down. Give God a hand clap of praise in here if you don't mind. Why do I know he's not going to let you down? Because the scriptures cannot lie. I'm going to say something real clear. Of everything next to your prayer life, you better be guarding in the last days before the coming of the Son of Man. That is your high view of scripture. Whenever you get to the point where you become a moderate, you're on your way to being a liberal theologically. And you need to keep this scripture above philosophy, above men, above Democrats, above Republicans, which isn't really a hard thing to do moving right along. And you keep a high view of the scripture that this is the eternal word of God. It cannot lie. Somebody say a hearty amen. And since it cannot lie, Billy Hargis, I can then trust. I'm about to have church all by myself tonight. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. They cried to you and they were saved. And then it says, in you they trusted. And then it says these wonderful words, Joanne, and they were not disappointed. Oh, hear me, little lambs. God will not disappoint you. Hear me, children of God. You can put your trust in him. Hear me, mama. Hear me, daddy. Hear me, parents. Hear me, children of God. Put your trust in the Lord. Some put their trust in chariots. Some put their trust in horses. But as for me and my house, we will put our trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise and praise him if you don't mind. Go to Psalms chapter 40, verse 4. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 4, you will see in Psalms 40, verse 4, it says, blessed is the man. How many of you want to be blessed? Say amen. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Not your job, not the coal mines, not your relationships, not your influence, not your ability to trust. You want to be disappointed, put your trust in a man. Put your trust in a human being. Human beings are going to let you down every time. But the scripture says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. And that word trust is actually the Hebrew word respective. And it actually means to turn towards an object in confidence. So the scripture is literally saying, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who turns towards as an object of confidence to the Lord. Folks, there's been a lot of days that I didn't know where God was. There have been a lot of times I wondered why he apparently was about to let me down. There's been many an hour I cried myself to sleep. But I'm here to tell you, out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. I'm here to tell you that I've never met one saint that stayed on the potter's wheel that was disappointed. I'm here to tell you that I've buried hundreds of people, and the saints I've buried closed their eyes. I was the one that closed many of their eyes. But I wasn't the last thing they saw. The first thing they saw was the last thing they saw on this earth, and that was the presence of God. He will not let you down. Oh, hallelujah. I said, he will not let you down. I said, he will not let you down. I don't care how big your adversary looks. I don't care how impossible your situation is. I don't care how bad of a day you've had. I don't care who betrayed you, who lied on you, who stole from you, or what you need from another human being. Your answer is not in man. It is his putting your trust in the hand of the man from Galilee. And when you do that, you will not be disappointed. Go to Psalm 71 and 5, especially those of you that are older saints in this church. This is a scripture for you. You don't realize that ancient sages called this Psalms the old man's prayer. It is the prayer prayed by King David at the ending of the nearing of the ending of his adult life. And he says, this prayer of maturity. It's a prayer you only can pray when you're mature in Christ. It's a prayer you can only pray after you've trusted God for a long time. And he prays this prayer. He says, for you have been my hope. You have been, past, present, you have been my hope. You have been my hope. And then he talks about the sovereignty of God. And he said, oh, sovereign, which means you'll do what you want to do, but you always do the best thing that's for me. You may not understand what God is doing in your life, but I can assure you it's always the best thing for you. You may not understand it now, but there will be a day when you will understand it. And God will take, no matter what the enemy does to you, he'll turn it around for your good if you'll trust him. There's not one bad thing that can happen to you that God cannot turn it around for your good. There's not one bad thing, one depth of hell, one setback, one misunderstanding, one trouble, one pain, one issue that God will not do if you'll trust him. Turn it around for your good. Because David says in an old man, this is called the old man's prayer, he said, for you have been my hope. Never forget what Raymond Davis said to me before he died. He called me Doc. He said, Doc, come here. So I went where he was. I said, yes, Brother Davis. He said, boy, I want to talk to you about burying me. It's the last thing I wanted to talk to him about. He said, I want you to bury me, and I want you to bury me like a soldier in the army of God. He said, I want you to march my casket out with the cross of Jesus Christ and the Christian flag draped over my coffin. And I want you to bury me with the honors of a soldier in the army of God. I've never forgot that. Oh, to have the faith that the old saints have, where they've trusted God and found him pure and holy and good. Have the kind of relationship where you know he's never let you down. Have got a walk with God that you watched him deliver you time and time and time again. To have that kind of walk with God where you can pray the old man's prayer. Oh. The old man's prayer. For you've been my hope, O sovereign Lord. And he says these beautiful words that are the goal of everyone underneath the sound of my voice. It's been the confidence since my youth. Remember what I told you about trusting God? How it builds confidence? The old man prayer says, my confidence has been developed since my youth. That I've trusted him more and more, the old hymn says. I've trusted him when I didn't understand, and I trusted him when no one liked me. I trusted him when they were waving palm branches and crying, Hosanna. I trusted him. I trusted him when my baby died. I trusted him when I went blind. I trusted him when they threw me in jail. I trusted him when I was shipwrecked. I trusted him when Rome beat me. I trusted him. I trusted him. And as an old man, the sovereign Lord, the holy God of Israel, I have confidence in him since my youth, because he's never let me down. He's never forsaken me. I've never begged bread. How faithful and how precious it is to have that old man's faith. The old man's prayer. My hope has been in the Lord. When I was young, I had a lot of goals, and I still want to impact the world, and that's never left me, and it won't never leave me. I'm a prisoner of hope. But my number one goal is to finish well. That wasn't always my goal. My number one goal is to go out of this world with my character. My number one goal was not to disappoint him or hurt his church. My number one goal was to love him and to build his kingdom and push people until they are weary of pushing. Push more to be the people God wants them to be. I want to be able to pray the old man's prayer. For you've been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. My confidence since I was a baby. My confidence since I was a child. My confidence when faith seemed easy and trust was scary and
I was afraid to step out because I didn't have the kind of faith that moved mountains. I had barely the kind of faith that could get me out of bed. But now I'm an old man. And I have confidence because I've learned to trust him. God help me. Whitney, play me some praise music, something soft and tender. I'm not done, but the Holy Ghost is. Can you pray an old man's prayer? Yes, Holy Ghost. Can you pray an old man's prayer? For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. I feel a very strong urge to open the altars and to spend some time soaking in the presence of God. How many of you sense his presence? Say amen. Go ahead, Whitney. Jeremy, whatever we got, it's the presence of God. I want you to just lift your hands and say, God, give me the ability to pray the old man's prayer. And whatever you need to give to God, I don't know who you are, but I know you're in here like I know my middle name. I don't know who you are or where you are, but the Lord wants you to know that he is really a very present help in time of need, and that he never has forsaken the righteous or seen his seed begging bread, and that he's been faithful to the multitudes and to your forefathers. He too will be faithful to you. If you can only be faithful with a little and ask yourself what's in your hand, God is a very present help in time of need, and he will lead you by paths of still waters. And at times it may be scary and frightening, but put your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee, and he will safely lead you through, saith the Lord.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.